This past week has definitely been a week leading up to, of course, today, a week of many prayers, reminding us of what even happened so many, or just 10 years ago today. And we're reminded of the prayers that went up to heaven on that day and have since, and still to this day, continue to go up to heaven. What a more fitting time to talk about prayer, because prayer is the most important thing that we have in our lives as followers of Jesus Christ and as God's chosen people. So we began a few weeks ago talking about prayer and the who, what, when, where's, and why's of prayer. First of all, we talked about what prayer was. And we came to understand through God's Word that prayer is a petition to God. Secondly, we talked about how or who do we pray to. And we came to the conclusion that the Bible tells us we are to pray to Master Yahweh, to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to the God of Israel. Today we're going to talk about how should we pray, because if there are two things that put the fear, ice-cold fear, into most people about prayer, it is that they don't understand what prayer is, and secondly, they don't know how to pray. But today we're going to talk about that a little bit. I want to give you a little example. If I were to need something, let's just say I were to need a bottle of water, and I came down to Curran and I said, "Curran, I need a bottle of water. Can you get me some water? Thanks." How do you feel that, Curran? Feel? What a weird thing. I came down to Curran. I'm really thirsty. Can you give me a bottle of water? I'd really love to have a drink right now. Thank you very much. I feel a lot better than that. You see, a lot of times in our prayers, we fall into this understanding that prayer has to be some sort of robotic thing that we do. This confusion that we have about prayer, that we don't even have the right mechanics. So we abstain from praying at all because we don't know how to pray. And this is what causes a lot of confusion and why people are afraid to pray. Have you ever known two young people who wanted to have a relationship, but they were afraid to talk to each other because they did not know what to say or how to say it? They don't know how to approach each other. In the same way, if we become so wrapped up in our words and how to say them, we'll never get to know and establish that relationship with Almighty God. So the answer to the question of how should we pray is not in the mechanics, but it's in the motivation of the heart. It's not a nuts and bolts thing, it's a heart and soul thing. One person doesn't pray any better than the next. They might just have a little more fluent conversation with God. But it's not a nuts and bolts thing that I pray better than anybody else because I know how to and I know the right mechanics of it. We're going to see this as we look at some of the prayers that we've referred to in the last two messages by two great kings, King David and the King of Kings, Jesus himself. And we'll also see some counsel that the writer of Hebrews gives us on prayer as to how we should pray. First of all, when we examine the Lord's Prayer, we look at Luke chapter 11 and Matthew chapter 6. Remember in Luke chapter 11, Jesus was praying in a certain place. One of the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." He said to them, "Well, when you pray, say this." He said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me three loaves of bread, because a friend of mine is on a journey, has come to me and I have nothing to set before him.' And the one that's inside answers, 'Well, don't bother me.'" Now remember, Jesus is teaching them how to pray. A man comes to a man, knocks on the door at midnight, and says, "Lend me three loaves of bread." The one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door's locked, my children are in bed, and I can't get up and give you anything." Jesus said to them, "I tell you, though he will not give up and give him the bread because he's a friend, he will get up and give the man the bread because of the man's boldness. He'll get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, it will be given to you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, and the door will be opened." In fact, he said, We are to pray boldly, like the man knocking on the door, so much so to God, because if you fathers know how to give good gifts, how much more will your heavenly Father give you? So we're to come boldly, boldly to God in prayer. When Matthew tells us about Jesus' teaching on the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. In other words, what he was saying, don't pray one thing and do something else. Don't be false in your prayers. Be sincere. Well, they love to pray in the synagogues, on the street corners, to be seen by men. He says, I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who's unseen. Then your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't babble like the pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. And don't think that your Father doesn't know what you need. He already knows what you need before you ask. So what Jesus was saying is that we are to pray boldly. You know, prayer to God was a new concept to the people in Jesus' time. If you remember, the only person that could go into the Holy of Holies was the priest. The only person who had contact with God was the priest. So prayer was a new concept at that time to those people. And what Jesus was teaching them was not mechanics. He was teaching them that sincerely, in your heart and soul, boldly go to God and present your petitions to God. And he says, don't be like these hypocrites. Be sincere when you go to God. Don't pray long, drawn out prayers, babbling over the same thing over and over and over again. God knows what you need. Just go boldly to God and present your prayers, and present them personally to God. You know, when he teaches about going in private and praying, that doesn't mean that we can only pray in our prayer closets, that we can only pray alone. What it means is we're to pray personally to God, boldly and personally, like a one-on-one relationship, like we communicate with our friends. It also shows us this in 2 Samuel. Remember, we talked about this a few years ago. When David prayed, God had established his Davidic covenant with David that someone from David's family would sit on the throne forever. And we remember David went in and sat before the Lord, and he just boldly presented his prayers. And he said, who am I, sovereign Lord? What is my family that you've brought me this far? I'm nothing. You're everything. Who am I that you brought me this far? And he boldly went before the Lord and praised the Lord. Secondly, when we see Jesus praying in the Lord's Prayer in Luke chapter 11, we see that we're to pray expectantly. Expectantly. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So we are to pray expectantly, expecting great things. Now, that is not assumedly. We are not to go into a prayer assuming that I'm special, that God knows my needs and he's going to give them to me because I'm a good guy. Assuming that God's just going to lay on everything I want and everything I pray for. Because we have to be in the right mindset, with the right motives, praying in God's will. But we can expect great things. We can expect great things out of God in prayer. God, I don't know how you're going to handle this, but I know you are, because your word says you are able and willing. So we're to go boldly and expectantly. As Matthew teaches us in the Lord's Prayer, when Jesus says that go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father. We're to pray personally, one-on-one. Lord God, it's you and me. I'm glad you're my God. I praise you for my clothes, for my home, for my family, for all that I have in my life. God, you know the burdens that I have on me personally. And though I'm not here with my store list or my Christmas list, I know you're looking after me personally. I know that you know my burdens. and I know that you're already at work on them. So we're to pray boldly, expectantly, and personally. When we look back on David's prayer in 2 Samuel chapter 7, we see that we're to pray humbly. David said, "Who am I, Sovereign Lord? And what's my family that you've brought me this far? And as if this were not enough in your sight, O Sovereign Lord," O Sovereign Lord, remember what that means? O Master Yahweh. O Master Yahweh, you've spoken about the future of the house of your servant. In other words, what he was saying to God, who am I that you have blessed me and spoken about the future of my family, that you're going to put somebody from my family on the throne forever? I'm nothing. And he says, what more can David say to you? You know your servant, Sovereign Lord, Master Yahweh. For the sake of your word and according to your will, you've done this great thing and you've made it known to me. How great you are, O Sovereign Lord. There's no one like you. There's no God but you, as we have heard. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth that God went out to redeem as a people for himself? So David was praying humbly. He wasn't going to God because he was somebody special, because he was God's chosen. He still knew deep down inside he was nothing in comparison with God. We're also to go in prayer to God and to pray sincerely. Although we know, as Paul said, God will supply all our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus, we must not come before the sovereign God of the universe with a me attitude. We cannot come with a me attitude. It isn't about us. It never has been and it never will be. It's all about Almighty God. And the reason we come to prayer to Almighty God, to the Sovereign Lord, to Master Yahweh, is because we understand that He's in charge, that He's all-powerful, and we're not. We're also to come to Him and pray reverently. We read the closing of David's prayer in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Lord Almighty, God of Israel, you've revealed this to your servant, saying, I will build a house for you. So your servant has found courage to offer you this prayer. What did he find courage from? He found courage in God's word. He found courage to come to God in prayer because God had told him he could, because God had promised him the blessings. The Sovereign Lord, your God, your words are trustworthy. You've promised these good things to your servant. Now be pleased to bless the house of your servant that it may continue forever in your sight. Notice what he's saying there. He doesn't say, now bless your servant. Be pleased to bless the house of your servant so that we might be great, so that my family might be great. He says that it may continue forever in your sight. For you, O Sovereign Lord, have spoken, and with your blessing, the house of your servant will be blessed forever. He completely, sincerely, outright acknowledges God's glory and God's reverence. In all these prayers that we've examined, and we'll continue to examine in the coming weeks, God wasn't anybody's buddy. He wasn't, hey! He had a name. His name was hallowed. Hallowed be thy name. Respected. Holy is your name. Reverent is your name. Though we come boldly, though we come confidently, though we come sincerely and expectantly and personally, we have to understand God's holiness when we come to Him in prayer. In our reading today in the fourth chapter of Hebrews, we find out that we can come confidently to God. Jesus said in John chapter 14, whatever you ask in my name, that I'll do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it. And the writer of Hebrews says, or gives us a reason why we can believe that, because we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. You see, in that time it was understood that the earthly priests were the only ones that could go into the Holy of Holies before God and speak to God. Now the writer of Hebrews, which many believe might be Paul, is saying that we can be confident because we have a priest that's already there in God's presence for us. Jesus, the Son of God. And let's hold firmly to the faith that we profess. We don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. We have one who's been tempted and bears the burden, every burden that you and I know, yet is without sin. So let's approach the throne of grace with confidence. With confidence. Let's approach the throne of grace with confidence. There were no form prayers. There were no cookie-cutter phrases. There was no technical, churchy language. There was no correct posture, no beads, no repetitive rambling, and especially one that's near and dear to my heart, there was no middleman in these prayers. The people went right to God. And now, the writer of Hebrews tells us, we can too. We go right to God. Just a human heart turning to the true God of the universe as an admission of helplessness and an acknowledgement of God's sovereign power. That's what true prayer is. When we come to God, we are saying something to God. If we are sincere in our hearts, God knows that sincerity, and we're admitting our helplessness and acknowledging God's greatness. In other words, in prayer to the true God, one sets the record straight. I'm unable, you, O Lord, are able. I'm unworthy, you, O Lord, are worthy. I'm sinful, you, O Lord, are righteous. I'm out of control, Lord, you have all the control. Help me, Lord. Not but yet not my will be done, but your will be done. Our hearts must be sure, sure, as David's heart was when David said in Psalm 31, as for me, I trust in thee, O Lord. I say, thou art my God. My times are in thy hands. In every situation of your life, we have to grasp confidently to the faith that we have and say, as for me, I trust in thee, O Lord. I say, thou art my God, my times are in thy hands. And the great blessing that Christians have is that we have permission to approach the throne of grace and to spread out our wants and desires before Almighty God. This is something that no other religion has. No other religion has this permission. We enter into the presence of Almighty God, worshiping with godly fear, awed by His majesty and His glory and His greatness, but encouraged by His love. The King James Version of our reading in Hebrews today says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That word touched, originally in the Greek, was sympatheo, where we get the word sympathy from. We don't have a high priest that cannot have sympathy with us. And it implies being touched with a certain feeling. What the writer was saying is, we have a high priest in the presence of God whose heart is touched by our inflictions, by our afflictions, by our tribulations and our trials in life. When we're hurting, He's hurting. This was a foreign concept to many of Jesus' day. It's a foreign concept to many people today, that they can go into the throne room of Almighty God in prayer and speak one-on-one with God. Why wouldn't anybody want to do that? The answer is simple. Because they want to be on the throne. They want to be in control. They want to be king of their life. Because of Jesus, that which is unholy can come before He who is completely holy. Because when we approach the throne of grace in prayer, although we do not belong there, Jesus, our high priest, sees His sheep as we approach the throne of grace in a place that we're not supposed to be because we're unholy people in the flesh. Jesus sees His sheep and says, it's okay. He tells the gatekeeper, oh yes, He's one of mine. Oh, she's one of mine. Let her in. And it's there in the presence of Jehovah that our hearts are laid bare in prayer. Personally, boldly, confidently, sincerely, humbly, reverently, expectantly. That's how we're supposed to pray. In conversational petition between the heavenly and the earthly. What an awesome blessing. Folks, we've got to understand this great gift that we have, that we can go to Almighty God one-on-one and speak to the Creator of the heavens and earth. Now you may bow your head, you may fall on your knees, you may lay prostrate, you may fold your hands, lift your hands, look up, look down. Your prayers might be written, they might not be. But if our hearts are not right and our motives are selfish, we're just simply wasting our time and our words are just simply lip service. And do you think God doesn't really know? I think He does. I know He does. Because the Bible tells me so. God knows the hearts of all people. He knows when people pray what their motives are. And unless our hearts are laid bare before God, you see, we're nothing more than a customer in a grocery store asking the clerk if they can point me to the cereal, and by the way, to the Corn Pops in particular. Afterwards, just simply saying thank you, but forgetting that without that clerk, I would have gone hungry. Without the clerk, I would have continued to be directionless. Okay, well, then maybe I'll just observe a moment of silence in honor of that clerk. No, better yet, I won't say anything at all because he knows how I feel. So I won't say anything. No, I need to go back to the clerk personally, boldly, sincerely, humbly. Sir, I see your name's Richard. Thank you, Richard, for being kind to me and helping me find the cereal. When I'm in need here again, I'll come to you because I know you'll give me your time and you'll help me out. Without you, Richard, I would have been lost and gone hungry. You're a great guy, Richard. Thank you. You see the difference it makes in our lives when we let God know how we feel? When we open our mouths at all? In a moment of silence? No, that doesn't cut it. That doesn't cut it. I'm sorry. It might be the politically correct thing to do today, folks, but that doesn't cut it. Our moment of silence needs to be a moment of speaking. Boldly, personally, confidently, sincerely, reverently, expectantly. And when we do, God knows our hearts. He knows our minds. And we know that when we come to Him, Master Yahweh, Sovereign Lord, I'm nothing and You're everything. I'm unable, but You are able. I wonder how many people prayed like this 10 years ago today. Oh Lord, You are worthy. I'm unworthy. I'm sinful, but You're righteous. Help us, Lord, yet not our will be done, but Your will be done. In the same way that myself going back to Richard and expressing my thanks and what he meant to me personally, in the same way, God feels blessed, joy, happy that when we come to Him, we don't come in robotic conversation. We lay our hearts bare. He sees the hurt in our hearts. He sympathizes with us. And He says, I hear you. I hear you. And I'm already in control. How do we pray? The next time somebody asks you to pray, Use whatever means you're comfortable with. But first and foremost, put your heart in the right place. And say, God, like Jesus did, God, I thank you that you hear me when I pray to you. I know you're real. You know the situation. You know our hearts. We're unable to do anything about it. Like Jehoshaphat. What did he do? Did he observe a moment of silence when the enemy was coming around him, attacking him? No. He gathered the people together. They stood together and they praised God. They looked up to heaven and they said, God, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. But our eyes are on you. No formalities. No robotic conversation. Personal, confident, expectant conversation with Master Yahweh. Let's pray. Lord our God, it is a blessing that we, your people, have an opportunity to speak with you. Thank you for giving us the gift of prayer. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, we can see what he was getting at, that we are to come expectantly and boldly before your throne of grace, and we can come now because Jesus has made a way. He's our great high priest in the Holy of Holies, acknowledging us as your people and allowing us entrance into your holy temple. Today, Lord, we're thankful that we have a God like you who has given us so many opportunities to pray. And when we pray, no matter how fearful we might be, teach us that it's not about words or actions or movements, but it's about our hearts, our motivations, and our willingness to give up the throne to you. Because you are God, Master Yahweh, in charge of all things. In Jesus' name.